Welcome to the Emotion Code Seminar, how to release your trapped emotions for abundant health, love, and happiness. The Emotion Code is changing the world one person at a time. So take a moment right now and congratulate yourself for starting on this journey to learn how to release your own emotional baggage. I'm Dr. Bradley Nelson. I have been in private practice. I was in private practice in a brick and mortar private practice as a holistic chiropractic physician for 17 years, and then I spent 2 years in a distance practice where I was working with people literally all over the world using the Emotion Code, helping them to get well. I've done almost somewhere around 1,000 radio shows over the last 10 years. I've spoken on many continents, spoken to many people, taught the Emotion Code to lots of people all over the world. And I also developed another system that we call the Body Code. So what I found was that my patients had something in common, no matter what they were suffering from, whether their complaints were physical or mental or emotional, whether they were dealing with depression or anxiety or phobias or panic attacks, or whether they were dealing with physical problems like physical pain, migraine headaches, neck pain, back pain, elbow pain, knee pain, carpal tunnel syndrome, tennis elbow, or things like infertility or asthma or digestive disorders, or even cancer. What I found was that all of these people, no matter how old they were, had something in common, and that was their emotional baggage. And in this journey, I'm going to explain to you what emotional baggage is, how you can identify it, how you can get rid of it, and how your life can change for the better. But to help you really understand this, I have to go back a number of years to when I was 7 years old. And at that time, I looked like this. I had the measles. I was very, very ill. And I had heard my parents talking about how the next day, the plan was I was going into the hospital, and they were going to put me into something called an oxygen tent. And the tent part of that sounded interesting to me as a seven-year-old, but I was too sick to really think about enjoying that. And something happened to me during this illness that if I live to be a million years old, I will never, ever forget. My parents had made a bed for me on the couch near their room, and my mother and father came into the room. Everyone else had gone to bed. And my mother said to my father, "Will you kneel down with me and say a prayer so that our boy will be able to get well?" And so they did. They kneeled down by the side of the couch, and my father started to offer this prayer. And knowing my father, it was probably the first time in my life that I'd actually heard him pray. But he was very concerned for me. And partway through this prayer, something incredible happened to me. A change started at the top of my head, and it went whoosh through my body just that fast, and I was made completely well. Now, to go from being really, really sick one moment to being completely well in the next moment is something that you don't ever forget, no matter how long you live or no matter how old you are. And that taught me a very profound truth, and that is that there is a higher power that we can draw upon for help, this unseen power. So fast forward about another 7 years, things tend to run in those 7 year cycles in our lives, and I found myself in a place like this, in a hospital. And what had happened was I had started getting these back pains that got to be more and more severe until they were so severe that they would take my breath away. These pains would sometimes, they would come out of the blue, and they would sometimes knock me to the ground. They were so bad. My parents were very concerned. I was concerned. We went to the hospital. They ran all the tests, and they said that I had kidney disease. I found out later my parents had been told that this was about a 50% fatal disease, but there was no treatment available for this disease, nothing medical that could be done for me. So my parents decided that they would try an alternative. So they took me to see some other doctors, some holistic doctors who practiced in a trailer house like this out on the edge of town. These people started working with me, and my body started immediately responding. And in fact, Within a few weeks, I was feeling dramatically better. My pains were much less severe, much less frequent. And within about a month, I felt completely well. My parents took me back to this clinic where they ran all the tests on me. And as I recall, they ran the tests twice and they said, well, it's a spontaneous remission. Whatever we did must have helped. But I knew that these doctors in this clinic had not helped me. These doctors in this clinic had. And that's when I decided that's what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to be a doctor. And if I needed to practice in a clinic that looked like this clinic instead of this clinic, that was okay with me because these doctors had not been able to help me, but these had. So I opened my mind to the possibility of becoming a healer. And as time went on, that dream became more and more distant for me because I got involved in computers and in business. And it was eventually an answer to prayer that brought me back to that direction in my life to become a healer. And so I have some goals for you for this event. I want to teach you the emotion code so that you can use it to help yourself and others. I want to teach you more about the true nature of sickness and disease and entertain you and open your eyes and move you and inspire you. And if I've done all of those things by the end of this online seminar, I will consider it to be successful, and I think you will too. So first of all, I'd like to take a moment before we begin and have a moment of silence. You see, during all those years that I was working with patients, I had this very private, very personal habit of simply asking God to help me with each person that I saw. Now, you may call God by a different name, and that's fine. Source energy, creator, it doesn't matter. But if you believe in a higher power, take a moment with me and go into that place where you can ask for some help so that this will be the best possible seminar for both you and me. Okay. So let's go ahead and get started. How would you like to be able to open your heart to love and happiness again? How would you like to be able to communicate with your subconscious mind, that subconscious genius that is within you? There is one in there. How would you like to be able to stop choosing the wrong partner? Or to break the cycles of violence and abuse that have perhaps touched your life or the lives of someone that you know? How would you like to be able to get rid of the blocks to success that are going on in your own life? You can do those with the emotion code. How would you like to be able to stop anxiety and physical pain and depression and really live your life from your heart? Think about this for a moment. Are you really living the best possible version of your life right now? Think about that. The emotion code is about getting rid of that baggage and opening your heart and becoming the best possible version of yourself that you can possibly have. At the same time, by using the emotion code and releasing that emotional baggage, you're able to remove what I believe is a major underlying cause of disease. Thomas Edison, famous inventor, said, "The doctor of the future will give no medicine, but will interest his patients in the care of the human frame, in diet, and in the cause and prevention of disease." It's taken until now, to the 21st century, for us to really understand what he was talking about, and this is what the emotion code is really about. It's about understanding the true underlying causes of sickness and disease. Now, the emotion code is a tool to help us get well. We believe that 1 ounce of prevention is worth a pound of treatment or cure, and the emotion code, we believe, is one of the most complete and most pure forms of preventive medicine that exists in the world. So we all accumulate emotional baggage in our lives, from our childhood, from our difficult work, from our divorce that we've been through perhaps, relationship difficulties. Some of those relationships go back to high school and grade school. Sometimes we have problems because we were bullied or abused in some way. That emotional baggage stays with us and causes problems for us. But our goal here is to become the best possible version of ourselves. And the emotion code can have an incredibly far-reaching impact on your life and the lives of those that you love if you give it a chance. Now, we don't recommend that people use the emotion code as the sole method of taking care of themselves. But when trapped emotions are contributing to illness, whether it's mental or physical or emotional, getting rid of that emotional baggage can only help. And it's often a big and necessary step towards recovery. And no matter who you are or what you've lived through, you can learn the emotion code. We have children using the emotion code as young as 5 years old. And it's all about increasing your vibration. It's about getting rid of the darkness that exists within your own body, within your own energy field. Because all of your emotional baggage is like little areas of dark energy that we're going to help you to understand and get rid of so that you can assume a higher vibration and live a life with more joy and more happiness. So it really is about healing the world one person at a time. So first of all, we need to talk about energy, because everything is pure energy. Your energy, your specific vibrational frequency, is what makes you who you are. And you are unique in this world. There is no one else exactly like you. It makes you what you are. Now, energy is everywhere. If you think about it, at any given time, there are multiple energies that are passing through your body. If you took 10 radios and tuned them in to 10 different radio stations in your room right now, well, I'm sure you could do that. And those frequencies are going through your body all the time. There are other frequencies, too, that are traveling through your body. Things like x-rays, infrared energy, ultraviolet light, thought waves, emotions as well, because you see everything is energy. And our universe is made of vibrating energy. I like to think that we live in what you might call a Lego universe. In other words, our universe, the world that we live in, is made up of all of these little subatomic energies that surround the atom. And if you really look into this, you see that there's nothing in the atom but empty space and these little tiny energies that are zipping around at the speed of light. And so, depending on how you put these little energies together, you can create different things, different atoms. And then those atoms can be used to create molecules like proteins and fats and carbohydrates and so on. Everything that exists consists of energy. And we know that quantum physicists like Albert Einstein, for example, have been telling us for over 100 years that our bodies are literally made of energy. And they devised some ingenious experiments over the years to study these smallest particles of energy. And what we have found, or what they found, is that these subatomic energies will behave differently depending on what the observer is expecting to see. Now, some physicists have come to the conclusion, which I happen to agree with, that somehow, in some way that we don't really understand, these energies themselves are intelligent to some small degree. So we live in a universe of intelligent energy. Now, you have two bodies, I like to think. One of those is your physical body, that physical body that seems solid to you. There's also an energy body or a spirit within you. And anciently they referred to this as the prana or the ki or the chi. Both of these are made of energy. They're just vibrating at different frequencies. Now, if we look at the energy field of living things using Curlian photography, we can see things like this. These are the energy fields put off by some young mushrooms. Curlian photography was developed back in 1939 in the Ukraine by a man named Semyon Curlian. It was kind of an accident, but it's been extremely useful. Russian scientists came out a number of years ago and said that all things exhibit this plasma energy field, all living things. So here we see a leaf, and you can see the energy field around the outside of that leaf. Here we see your fingertips. Now, normally you don't see this energy field. But by the way, the fingertips of healers exhibit a very powerful, strong, large energy field. Now, my favorite Curlian photograph of all was where some scientists took a leaf. They cut the leaf in two, and they threw the top half of the leaf away. And then they made a Curlian image, and here's what they saw. They saw the invisible part of that leaf was still there, So the Kirlian photograph was able to exhibit and show and manifest this part of that energy field that is the invisible part of living things. And of course, we have that same energy field. Now, there are scientists who have devoted their entire lives to understanding how lower animals, like newts and salamanders, can regrow a tail when it detaches. That's a way for them to escape from someone or something. They can regrow that tail. They can regrow limbs. How do they do that? And what these scientists have found is that there is a very low voltage DC current that exists in the area of that stump. And if you leave it alone, that tissue will regrow. Now, in our own bodies, we have this three-dimensional energy field, you see. And when we are damaged or wounded in some way, that 3D energy field provides the scaffolding, the three-dimensional invisible scaffolding that allows the new cells to grow and fill into that new form, and so we end up being healed. Now, if you think about it, it's our emotional baggage affects us on that level. Trapped emotions affect us on this 3D blueprint, this invisible blueprint level, on the energetic level. Now, if you see a glove that's moving, the fingers are moving in a glove, you can bet that there's a hand on the inside, right? And I believe that's how it is with our physical bodies. There is this spirit intelligence within us, and it is the intelligence that drives us. But if you've ever been to a funeral and you look at the person lying in the casket, it's obvious that something has gone out of that body. Something has changed. We know that at the moment of death, living things exhibit a loss of weight, a small amount of loss of weight. And I've heard those stories. I believe that that just may be the spirit within us that's actually leaving the body. But anyway, the spirit and the physical are very tightly connected, very much connected in this experience that we're having, in this living experience that we're living through in this world. So imbalances that happen to us, especially trapped emotional energies, affect us not only on the energetic level, but also on the physical level. So let me show you some slides just for a moment here from Dr. Masaru Emoto, who wrote a book, Messages from Water. And what they found was he was studying water in Japan and found that if they took some water and they flash froze that water, they could make snowflakes out of it. And depending on how polluted the water was or what was going on with the water, they would get different kinds of snowflakes. And then they found that as they experimented with this, they could actually play music for water overnight and get different kinds of snowflakes. They found that they could tape words to vials of water and get different kinds of snowflakes, depending on what the words were. And they could play music or place photographs nearby water, and they would get different kinds of snowflakes depending on what the water was exposed to. So for example, if we look at this first slide, you can see on the left, we have water that was exposed to heavy metal music. On the right, we have water that was exposed to the song Imagine by John Lennon. In this slide, some words were painted to a vial of water. On the left, we have, I will kill you. And on the right side, we have the word gratitude. On the left side in this slide, we have water that was turned into snowflakes from Fujiwara Dam before the Buddhist monks prayed over the water. On the right side, we have the same water after the Buddhist monks prayed for that water. The most beautiful snowflakes of all were formed when they taped the words love and gratitude to vials of water and then made snowflakes. And this is the kind of snowflake that resulted. Love and gratitude are very, very important in the emotion code work, in all healing work, which we'll talk about more later. So if you think about it, there's energy around us and there is energy within us, and that energy affects us. And of course, our bodies are 70 or 80% water. And so what we're thinking about can definitely have some big effects on us. And negative thought and negative energies can result in pain and inflammation and so on. Now, in order for you to understand how it's possible for you to find and remove your emotional baggage, we first have to talk about the mind. First, let's talk about your conscious mind. Your conscious mind is, we believe, less than 1% of your intelligence. And it's where we live. It's where we spend our lives. We go to school with our conscious mind. We take tests. We have relationships. We live and spend all of our waking time in our conscious mind. But the conscious mind, if you think of it as a computer, it's not a very big computer. We tend to forget a lot of things. And there's not a lot of storage space in there for memory. Now, on the other hand, your subconscious mind is, we believe, much more than 99% of your intelligence. And it is like a holographic computer that remembers everything you've ever done, every face you've ever seen in a crowd, everything you've ever eaten or tasted or touched or smelled. It's all stored in there in that subconscious mind. In fact, the whole history of your health or disease is stored in that subconscious mind. It knows exactly what's going on with you. It knows what trapped emotions you have. It knows when they occurred, who was involved, and what needs to be done to get rid of them. So we tap into the subconscious mind to get the information about your emotional baggage. Let's talk about this some more. First of all, if you've ever been hooked up to a polygraph, you'll know that when you say something that's true or something that is untrue, the machine will show that change because the body automatically will reflect those physiological changes when you're saying something true or not true. So what we do is we use something called muscle testing to be able to get answers from the body. And in this online seminar, I'm going to show you a number of different methods of finding emotional baggage using muscle testing, not only on other people, but also on yourself. When we're testing someone's arm, if they hold their arm straight out, if they say something that's true, their arm will tend to stay strong. If they say something that is false, their arm will tend to drop. And we'll show you how that works in a little bit. So the bottom line is that you have this computer within you that enables us to tap in to your subconscious mind and figure out what the underlying reasons are why you're not doing as well as you should be doing. We can find the emotional baggage that you have and get rid of it. Now, kinesiology, or muscle testing, was first described by Dr. George Goodhart, who was a chiropractor using muscle testing to try to help people to get better. Muscle testing is really about sensing the subtle change that's taking place in the body. And so we always want to do it gently, and we'll explain more about that later. One of the fascinating things about muscle testing is that if you learn how to use it, you'll notice this phenomenon that occurs when you're working with someone or you're working with yourself, and a split second before you get the answer on the muscle testing, whether it's yes or no, strong for yes, weak for no, that answer will appear in your mind. And that really is your intuition. And if you feed that intuition, if you focus on that intuition, you can get to a point where you don't even need muscle testing. You can just go totally by your own intuition. Now, some fascinating studies have been done with plants. If you put a plant in a room that has uniform lighting all around, the plant, of course, will grow straight up. But if you put a plant in a room like that and you put a speaker in the corner, and that speaker is playing beautiful, soothing music, classical music, lullabies, the plant will grow towards the sound coming out of that speaker. By the same token, if that speaker is playing harsh, negative sounds, grating sounds, annoying kinds of music, the plant will grow away from that sound coming out of that speaker, and the roots themselves will bend away from that speaker. So the human body has this same ability to respond to positive or negative input. We call this the sway test, and this is how this is done. If you stand with your feet shoulder width apart, drop your hands to your sides, and close your eyes, follow along with me, and I will show you how your subconscious mind will actually speak to you if you let it. First of all, I'd like you to think about the word war. Now, as you're standing there with your feet shoulder width apart, totally relaxed, hands to your sides, think about that word, war. Now, we've heard that word all of our lives, probably almost every day of our lives. What I'd like you to do for a moment is I'd like you to actually think about what goes on in war. what really happens? What are people doing to other people in war? What's really going on a human level? And the moment your subconscious mind connects with what you're thinking about consciously, at that moment, your subconscious mind will move you backwards. You'll start to sway backwards. You might have to stop yourself from falling because your subconscious mind wants to move you away from the sheer negativity of that thought. Now, let's try something positive. So I'd like you to think about the word gratitude now. Think about someone in your life, perhaps, that you might feel gratitude for. Maybe it's a spouse or a child or a parent or maybe a teacher or a mentor, someone who did something really nice for you. Think about that person. Or you can think about whatever it is that you might be grateful for. Maybe you're grateful to be alive. Maybe you're grateful for your work or whatever it is. Pick something. And I'd like you to now, with your feet shoulder width apart and your arms down to your sides, close your eyes, and I would like you to allow your heart to fill with gratitude for whatever it is that you've chosen to be grateful for. Allow your heart to fill with gratitude towards that person or that thing, whatever it is. And as you allow yourself to feel that gratitude, when your subconscious mind starts to connect with what it is you're thinking and feeling, at that moment, your body will start to sway you forward. And that's your subconscious mind trying to move you towards that high, high energy. Well, we call this the sway test, and we can use the sway test to get answers from the subconscious mind. It's one of the simplest, easiest ways that just about anyone can do. If you hold a thought in your mind, for example, in fact, why don't you try this? Hold this thought in your mind. I have a trapped emotion. Hold that thought. I have a trapped emotion. And just stand there, totally relaxed, and hold that thought and focus on that thought. I have a trapped emotion. Your body, in a moment, will tend to sway forward if the answer is yes, backward if the answer is no. So this is a very simple, easy way to get answers from the subconscious mind. Now, you don't want to force the body to lean in one direction or the other. You need to be gentle and allow your body to sway all by itself. Allow yourself to be surprised by what happens, and don't try to force it. Doing it gently gives the best results. Now, testing a known answer is always good when you're starting out. For example, as you stand there totally relaxed, feet shoulder width apart, arms at your sides, you might make a statement like, for me, I might say, my name is Brad, and I might hold that thought in my mind. My name is Brad. And as I hold that thought, I'll start to sway forward because that thought is true, see? If I hold a thought like, my name is Jim, as I focus on that thought, I'll start to sway backward. The harder you focus on the question or the statement or whatever it is you're thinking about, the more rapidly you will sway forward or backward. So it's important to not have any digressive thoughts. Don't have any expectation of specific answers. Just allow yourself to be open to whatever comes. And try not to have any negative feelings about the test itself. Just try to focus on whatever answer you're trying to get. Now, mental questions are just as effective. Even when you're testing another person, you can think about something and you do not have to verbalize that thing. So, muscle testing is a very versatile tool that we can use in all kinds of circumstances to get answers from the subconscious mind. Practice makes perfect, and we allow ourselves to have patience with these things, okay? So, one of the things that we like to do is test people to see before they start doing a lot of emotional work, to see if they are shielded from negative energies. Now, about half of people at any given time are already shielded from negative energies. It's something that seems to be automatic for about half of the population. For the other half of the population, we actually go through a little process to show them how this is done. The energy shield that we talk about is really a creation of your subconscious mind that just helps to shield you from negative emotions from other people. And I had a situation myself where I found that this was very powerful. I had a patient that came into me once, and she was crying because she was so upset about her work. And I asked her what was wrong, and she said that she worked in a very high-stress company, and people were always calling her and yelling at her all day long, and it was just very difficult for her. And so I said, well, let's test you to see if you're shielded from negative energies. So I did. She wasn't already shielded. So I went through this little process that I'm going to show you next. We put a shield around her, and about a week later she came back in, and she was fine. She was feeling great and happy and everything, and I said, how are you? She said, well, she said, I'm great. When people call and they yell at me, I just tell them, you'll get it when we're darn good and ready. Click. And so this can really help you to maintain your energy level in a higher state. So here's how this works. You can do this on yourself right now. Focus on this question in your mind. Am I shielded from negative energies? So you can use the sway test to get this answer. So totally relax. Feet shoulder width apart, arms at your sides, and ask this question in your mind. Am I shielded from negative energies? Focus on that thought, and the harder you focus on that thought, the faster you'll get the test result. Now, in my case, I am, but of course, I've been doing this for a while. About half of you watching this will sway forward, and that's your body saying yes. So if you sway forward, fine, you don't have to do anything else. If you sway backward, then you're not already shielded. And so here's the process. While you're standing there, take one hand, start at your forehead, and go over the top of your head to the back of your neck while you're saying these words. I'm placing a shield around myself. It consists of pure, bright, positive energy, and it's permanent, and it covers me completely. And it will block all negative energies from reaching me, but it will allow love and other positive energies in. And that's it. Now, try the sway test again if you tested negatively. Drop your arms to your sides, close your eyes, and ask that question again. Am I shielded from negative energies? And allow your body to do whatever it's going to do. Focus on that question, am I shielded from negative energies? And your body should sway forward now on that question. So that's the sway test. Now, sometimes, for some reason, that shield may not stay up. And so if you're going to be working on someone using the emotion code, it's a good idea to just say, shields up, and that will actually bring that shield back up again. So this is something you only have to do once in your life. But again, when you're going to work on someone, you might want to go ahead and just say shields up, and then that will consciously put that shield back up again for you. Thank you for listening. Next, we're going to talk about trapped emotions, the invisible epidemic.